Tonight we want to take a look at really kind of a difficult subject to teach, and yet really a very important subject the more that I look at it. Difficult in the sense that it applies to all of our lives, definitely applies to my life, but it's in the area of the grieving of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that you and I must come to grips with within our life is that God is not going to pour His Spirit through an unholy vessel. Now, He will not leave you, nor will He forsake you, but nor can He work through you or in you because He's too busy working on you. And so your life becomes that wilderness experience. The joy and the gladness is gone. And there are certain reasons why this happens in our life. I was reading an interesting story about a Boy Scout, and he was trying to do what his club master wanted him to do. And so they got together and they were going over the different items concerning the Boy Scouts, and they had certain assignments, and they were to do a good deed before they would get together and hit the sack that night. And so the scoutmaster begins to look around the room and said, "Now, have you guys done everything that you were supposed to do today? Have you done good works today?" And all the kids raised their hand except this one boy. And the scoutmaster looked over and said, "Well, you know the rules. You really cannot continue until you've done that good merit for the day." And so the boy left the presence of everyone else. He was gone for about 20 minutes and came back, and his hair was just a mess. I mean, it looked like someone just grabbed it and yanked it, and it was just a horrible mess. His clothing was pretty much ripped off, and it wasn't indecent, but it was completely shredded. And rumor had it that he had done his good deed. And so the scoutmaster said to the young boy in front of everyone else, "Well, son, did you do your good merit?" And the boy looked at the scoutmaster and said, "Yes, I have, sir. I have done my good merit so I can be part of the team." He said, "Well, what did you do?" He said, "I helped a little lady across the street." The scoutmaster looked and said, "Well, why do you look the way you look?" And he said, "Because she didn't want to go across the street. And I drug her all the way across the street. And she beat me with her purse." Now, that's a crazy story and probably would never happen. But that is how we look upon the work of the Holy Spirit within our life, that He's going to beat us to death. He's going to come and overtake our lives, and He's going to take over our faculties, and we're going to start speaking in tongues in the mall, and we're going to start witnessing in Afghanistan language or something, and we're going to start doing crazy things in the name of God. And that's not the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit, you remember, is likened unto a dove, gentle and peaceful and beautiful. It wasn't some hawk that comes down and rips you off, or some other type of a falcon that comes so quick you can't see it. But it's a very gentle bird, one that is very loyal and faithful. And so He comes and He honors your position that you take in your life. And the way that God has loved you is given you a free moral will. That you have the ability to say no to God. And you have the ability to say yes to sin. And so when you look at the area of grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching the Holy Spirit, resisting the Holy Spirit, vexing the Holy Spirit, doing despite to the grace of God and to the Spirit, now you are sinning against the one who has to put up with you on a daily basis. So it is the work of the Holy Spirit to be your comforter, to come inside of your heart and to be the presence of Christ within you. And in the Old Testament, when we would sin, if we were in the Old Testament, then like Saul and many others, the Spirit of God left. And you remember Samson? He jumped up and knew not that the Spirit of God had departed. And we find that throughout the Old Testament. And so the Spirit would leave. David said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." So there is that work of the Spirit working on you, and then in the New Testament working in you, and then eventually overflowing your life. But in the New Testament, he's come to dwell in you. So when you and I decide to sin, we sin with the Holy Spirit. So if I decide to commit fornication tonight, I drag him through the very act of fornication. He is in between the sheets with me and my lover, and he is grieved. He is quenched because I am resisting the conviction and the guilt. I'm quenching the wonderful work that God wants to do in and through my life. And I am grieving him to a point that I am breaking the heart of the work of the Spirit of God in my life. Now the Bible declares in John chapter 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world." And so I declare to you tonight that God loved the world. We find in the book of Galatians in chapter 2 verse 20 that it is the love of Christ, that it's no longer I, but Christ that liveth in me. And that life that I now live, I live by the Son of God who died for me and who loved me. So Christ loved me. And then in Romans in chapter 5, verse 5, "And the Spirit is shed abroad in my heart to love me." So it is the love of the Spirit loving me. So I cannot quench a force, I cannot quench an essence, I can only quench a personality or a person. So it makes sense to me and to the Word and to the Holy Spirit that when I sin against Him, it saddens His heart. Because everything that Christ has done for me, I'm now destroying the very work in my life. Now, I want you to listen very carefully tonight, and I want to go as slow as I can, and I don't want to make any mistakes trying to convince your mind that we need to think differently about the Holy Spirit. Because if I am going to do certain things that's going to go contrary to the work of God in my life, that I really don't have a right to blame anyone in my life or what they're doing to me. Let me give you an example. Some of you are extremely bitter because of relationships within your home or within your family. Some of you are extremely angry at work because you are being held down from what you believe God wants you to have. And some of you are disappointed with God because either you have not received what you have been praying for, or you don't enjoy the lot that God has given to you in your life. And I want to share with you tonight that before you go down that road, blaming others for what you don't have, that we ought to, including myself, look in the mirror and point and say, "I am destroying my life because of my lifestyle and because of what I'm allowing to take place within my life." So if I allow bitterness to go on, I am quenching the work of the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit because the gift of God is that I would love one another. And when I'm bitter, I'm not loving anyone. Therefore, I am now quenching that work that God wants to do in my life, and I'm quenching the work in other people's life because I'm not forgiving. Therefore, I'm hindering them from being all that God wants them to be. And so I want to share with you a little bit tonight about the importance of understanding how important it is to maintain a life and to sanctify that life in a spirit of holiness before the Lord. Now, you don't have to listen or do it, but I want to share with you that you're grieving Him because He is holy. And until I really grab the concept of the possibility that I can hate sin and that I can live unto God in a holy manner, yes, I'm going to fall short of what God wants in my life, but the majority of my life is seeking to please the Trinity. That I am not going to frustrate the grace of God. That I'm going to embrace the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to allow the love of Christ to teach me how to be a giver rather than a taker. And so I see very simply that the Father has loved me in John 3:16. The Son has loved me in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And now I read in Romans 5:5, and the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given. Now, if you're taking notes, I just want to have you jot down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. That is the ability to grieve the Holy Spirit. Then in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10, the ability to vex the Holy Spirit, that I would just vex the work of God to a point that He would turn and go a different direction. Not that He would leave me, but that He would, well, it says in verse 10, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of, well, chapter 62, that's good too. So, go through those gates. But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He, the Holy Spirit, turned to be their enemy and fought against them. Now, that is kind of interesting to me. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, that we can quench the work of the Holy Spirit within our life. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, we can quench the work of the Holy Spirit. Then in the book of Acts, in chapter 7, verse 51, we can resist the Holy Spirit. We can resist the work of God. We can stop the hand of God, and we can do that work that is unbelievable. We can limit the unlimited God, which is an unbelievable verse. He gave them their heart's desires and they limited the unlimited God because they wanted their will over the will of God. Their will was to have quail. God's will was for them to have manna. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, we can do despite to the grace of God. So that's what we're going to take a look at in just a few moments. But I want to kind of whet your appetite to the book of Ephesians, as I mentioned to you there. And I want to read to you just some scriptures, and then we're going to try to nail this in a very interesting way. And I want to show you the context that I've never seen before, and I think is important to understanding what it is to quench the work of the Holy Spirit. Because I want to know myself more than anyone else. Because I want the Lord to help this thing become easier and easier. In chapter 1, verse 13, and if you have a pen, you can underline these. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13, he goes on, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believe were sealed with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Underline the word sealed with the Holy Spirit. Then jump down to verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Underline the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge. So Paul is declaring in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 17, that there is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now jump over to chapter 2, verse 18. For though through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So we have access to the throne of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 22 of the same chapter, he says, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God, and underline through the Spirit. Then in chapter 3, verse 5, which in other age was not made known unto the sons of men, as it now reveals unto the holy apostles and the prophets, and underline by the Spirit. And then in verse 16, he declares that he would grant you, according to the richness of his glory, to be strengthened with might, underline by his Spirit. Then in chapter 4, verse 3, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Underline the unity of the Spirit. Then in chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Underline there, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Just a couple more. And chapter 5, verse 9. And the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5, verse 9. Notice in verse 18, and be not drunk wherein is expressed, but be filled with the Spirit. Underline, filled with the Spirit. Two more in chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Underline the sword of the Spirit. Then in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Underline in the Spirit. So the question tonight is, Pastor Steve, what is the point? Well, the point is that Paul laid down to the church of Ephesus that in every single chapter, there was the work of the Holy Spirit going on in their life. The preeminence of the work of the Spirit of God fills chapter 1 all the way through chapter 6. So when you come to chapter 4, verse 30, and you take that one verse out of context, and you say, well, let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. What is he really saying? That is a combination or a climax of everything that he's been saying. Whatever you do in your life, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And the way that I grieve the Holy Spirit is found in chapter 4, verse 19. Look with me at chapter 4, verse 19. He goes on, who being past fillings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, which is the power of lust, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So this is what I was before. I was driven by the power of lust. So pornography should not even be an issue. I was driven by the power of greed. Jealousy and financial things should not be something that is dominating my life. If so be that ye have heard him, who's him, the work of the Spirit, and have been taught by him, who is the teacher, the Holy Spirit, as the truth in Jesus Christ. And that is a powerful verse. Because look at the context. If so be that, the question, ye have heard him. Now the question is, have you heard the Holy Spirit? And what have you heard concerning the things that he's talking to you or who has taught you? Well, have you heard that he said that we're not to do as the Gentiles did, to be driven with lasciviousness or with concupiscence, which is that power of lust? Have you heard that we're not to be greedy and selfish? And then he goes on, you've been taught in the truth in Jesus, that ye would put off concerning the former conversations, which means in the Greek, the manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Underline that word, deceitful lust. This is what you were. This is who you were before you came to Christ. But why you came to Christ is because you were convicted. I was convicted. And there he begins to share that we no longer live in our former manner of life and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So your mind is to be renewed. That as I am in the Word, renewing my mind, stay in focus to the things that God has done in me, and I have one heart and one mind and one purpose, that I'm not double-minded, unstable, not trying to serve two masters, not trying to live in two kingdoms, but my eye is single, therefore my body is full of light, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye would put off the new man, which is after, put on the new man, which is after God, that is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now underline the word righteousness and true holiness. Now let's take it in context. Wherefore, put away lying. You and I grieve God, the work of the Holy Spirit, when we lie. So when I'm not being honest at home, not being honest at work, because he is the Spirit of truth, now I have chosen to grieve truth, therefore I begin to lie. It's not even important if it's a white lie or whatever it might be. There's no such thing. Lying is lying. How are you doing? Hey, I'm doing great. In reality, you know you're not doing good. You have grieved the work of the Holy Spirit because you're not telling the truth. And if you would tell the truth, that person might have a word from God for you. So we think grieving is some bad thing. In the context, Paul lays out how they used to grieve the Holy Spirit because they were lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one with another. The second thing I find is be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The second way that you grieve the Holy Spirit is with anger. Blowing your top. Yelling at the children. Yelling at people. Angry with society. Because God cannot work through an angry person. The Holy Spirit cannot do what he wants to do with you if you're angry, because the opposite of anger is what? Love. And because he is a spirit of love, anger is a work of the flesh. So when I am angry, I need to know that I am grieving the Spirit of God in my life. Now, he won't leave me, thank God. But he can no longer use me, because when Moses smote the rock, he disqualified himself from being an instrument of God. So there are some pastors that are so concerned about committing adultery, but they are so angry that they have lost the anointing of God upon their life. There are some men and women who are so concerned about what they do and what they don't do, but they're so greedy. They've never come to understand what it is to put others first. And so I grieve the work of God within my life by allowing everything that's contrary to what he's taught me. Now, when I came to Christ, I knew that I was to love. When I came to Christ, he has taught me that anger is something that is unacceptable. Bitterness is something that cannot even habitate my life, because all that bitterness is repressed anger. It's just anger taken root. I've allowed anger to go unrepentive, and now bitterness has taken it. And because I'm bitter, I'm heading towards darkness, and no longer can I be used by the way that God wants. And so the Spirit of God, though he's in me, is grieved. It saddens God that I would rather live by anger than by love. But because I don't calculate this in my mind and my heart that I have grieved him, oh, maybe you deserve it. Maybe I deserve it. But that's not the issue. Every one of us deserves it. But he doesn't deserve it, because he changed your life and he changed my life. And if I would just get a hold of this, there wouldn't be any divorces, because divorces are the result of grieving the Holy Spirit and unwilling to die and to let those things go and to consecrate yourself to what God's called you to do, love one another. But because I'm unwilling to die, therefore, I destroy relationships. I destroy relationships. Not what people do to me. I personally destroy relationships because I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. And if I continue, I'll vex him. And then the very thing who I am will turn against me and destroy my very life. He goes on to say, you need to get rid of anger. And then in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. What's he saying? Oh, let's watch R-rated movies. Let's go ahead and watch demon possession. Let's go ahead and make place in our life for the work of Satan. And that grieves the work, because what happened to Christ? He was crucified because of Satan, who lied to Eve, and therefore Jesus died that I would be set free, and now I'm hanging out with Satan. I'm flirting with the things of the world. I'm living on the edge and enjoying those things when I just grieve the work of the Holy Spirit. I listen to the voice of Satan rather than to the voice of my Father. I listen to the things that I want to do, and I hear God saying, don't do that, but I want to do it. And it grieves the heart of the work of the Holy Spirit when it's contrary to what he wants to do. He wants to build me up in Christ, and I'm tearing my life down. And so I totally disagree that it was your parents why you're so weird tonight. You're weird because you choose to be weird. You and I are so bizarre. I was going to say so wicked. You and I are so wicked because we will not listen to what God wants to do. So we have justified our anger. Can anger ever be justified? What's the answer? No. Anger to the fourth generation, mercy to a thousand generations. You will never justify anger ever, unless it's against sin. Be angry in what? Sin not. Can you justify bitterness? No. Can you justify listening to the lies of Satan? No. Then he goes on to declare, let him that still no more. Well, I don't do that. Well, if you don't give your tithes, you're robbing God and you're grieving the work of the Holy Spirit. But rather, let him that labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers. Telling your kids to shut up is not edifying. Listening to movies that have GD is not edifying. It grieves the heart of God. When I watch television and GD is used, I have damned Jehovah. And it grieves the heart of God. And so I say, just one more GD and I'll get up and walk out. No, there is one too many. Get up, walk out, get your money back. Oh, it's such a good movie. You have grieved and you have forced the Holy Spirit to sit in that theater and watch and listen, and he is devastated. You say, oh, that's terrible. I can never go to another R-rated movie. Good. Great. Good. You say, well, I don't like this teaching. Sad. Sad. You say, well, I want power. Well, you have to stop grieving. And the only way that you're going to stop grieving is, I need to start living. He goes on to declare, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed to the day of redemption. And then check verse 31 out. This is for me personally. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So in the context of, hey, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When you hear that now, you know exactly what Paul was trying to say. In the context of chapter 4, you need to make sure that your life is not grieving him by anger, by jealousy, by bitterness, by backbiting, by gossip, by lying. But instead, I desire to be tender, here in verse 32, be kind, be forgiving, as Christ has forgiven you. So when I come to the area of grieving the Holy Spirit, that is what it means. It means that God is doing a work in my life. He has brought redemption. He has saved you and he has saved me. He has brought Jesus Christ into my heart. He's filled me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what it means to grieve him now is not building up Christ, but I'm going after the things of this world. And because he cannot come against you, or he cannot override you, because he is a gentle spirit, and he has to honor your position. He will not force you to sanctification, and he will not force you to a life of holiness. That's a choice that you have to make. So you and I need to pray, Lord, I desire to be sanctified, set apart. And I desire to be holy. Therefore, you need to work in this area. And I got to tell you tonight, when I read the list and put it in context, man, there's no doubt that I have grieved his Holy Spirit. And I can get a handle on this. This does not condemn me or destroy my life. This convicts me in a wonderful way to make sure that when all of a sudden I lose it with my wife and get angry, I have instantly grieved his Spirit. Well, I don't mind maybe grieving her. But now he's involved, and that's a bummer. When I can't get mad at her no more. Oh, come on, give me a break. When I get angry with mama, and I do. Oh, not you, Pastor Steve. She gets angry with me. Oh, not mama. Oh, yeah? Cross her. Late. No way. We can't get angry. Now, we can sit and talk intelligently. I think you're a dingling, Steve. I think you're the most dingling pastor of South Bay right now. Now, I can handle that. But where there's anger, there's every work of Satan. And when the bitterness is there, every work of Satan. And it's contrary to the work of redemption. And so I want you to work on this area in your mind of not grieving the work of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. And I'll be glad when we get this over with so we can get into the fun stuff. But if we get the fun stuff and we lose it, what's the purpose of it? The thing is to keep it. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, notice he goes on to declare, quench not the Holy Spirit. Now, if I was to ask you, what does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit? There'd be a lot of different answers. But I think the right answer in the context is that through my life, I can quench others from coming to Christ. So it's my life no longer being a great example to other people. So if I allow bitterness to dominate my life, and all of a sudden, maybe one of the pastors, I'm mad at them, which I'm not, but let's hypothetically say that I'm upset with one of the pastors, and I'm bitter with that pastor, and all of a sudden he knows it, he's not growing. And God holds me responsible, because I have quenched his growth. I have quenched the work of the Spirit upon his life. Now, I don't like this interpretation, personally. I like it like, hey, that's his problem, it's my problem. Well, how selfish is that? You see, I'm not to stumble anyone. I'm not to live my life in such a way that I hurt other people. I'm not to restrict the work of God in maybe a janitor's life. Oh, he's going to be a janitor for the rest of his life. No, he might take over the church. So I can quench a janitor by just looking down at that janitor, not looking at what God's doing in and through his life. So the question is, am I building up? I can quench my children. I can say to them, oh, you always do the same thing over and over again. Oh, I can't believe how silly you are. I can't believe what you're doing. Why do you always do that? That is quenching the Spirit of God within a child's life. Wives can do that. You always are late. That's not true. You never come home for dinner. That's not true. Most of the time, but not always and never. And so we do things that are really wrong. So I can quench my wife. I'm convicted again. I got to go home and apologize, I think. What for? I don't know. I just want to apologize. Just to make sure I'm okay. Well, I can't get angry with her, so that's a bummer. Well, I won't talk to her. No, you can't do that because you're going to quench her. Because you're going to so occupy her mind with your behavior, she's not going to focus on Jesus Christ. Now think about this, guys. If we could chill out, and secondly, embrace our wives, would be the happiest women on the face of the earth. Now, wives, we won't even go there. I'll leave it right there. I'll take full responsibility. How many singles quench other singles because they don't dress right? Or they don't fit in? Or they're not part of the clique? And so I quench the work of the Holy Spirit. How many musicians have been quenched because they don't play as well as Kevin or sing as well as Kevin, but we won't give them a chance? We've quenched the work of the Holy Spirit. How many people have come into our church and left our church because we've quenched them because of the color of their skin or because of the talents or because they didn't talk just right? And so we disqualify them. You've quenched the work of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine if Chuck would have looked at me and said, there's one dirty, ugly hippie. I don't want to be around him right now. But he embraced me, and because he embraced me, I'm here today. Would you agree with that? Now I'm going to ask you a question, heart to heart, friend to friend. How many people have you destroyed because you're unwilling to let them be what God wants them to be? Now when you think that way, then here's my heart. Everybody has a possibility to do anything for the Lord, and I am called to help them do whatever they need to do in Jesus Christ. I'm not number one no more. I'm a doormat pushing people up, and that's the definition of ministry. I'm not going to quench. So you think you're called to be a leader? Let's work with you, give you a shot. If no one's following you after a couple months, guess what? You're not called to be a leader. Why? I don't think no one's following you. Well, what are you going to say to Pastor Steve? Well, I think I'm have the gift of administration then. Great. Do this, 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 this. Well, when you forget to turn off the lights and lock the doors and leave your engine running, and well, I don't think you have that gift. But if we can get you to make a hamburger and flip that puppy for the glory of God and cook that puppy so it really tastes good, then we found a gift of helps. So every one of you are called to do something for God. Don't be afraid to try and fail. I feel called to the children's ministry. You get over there. You say after 5 minutes, I want to kill these kids. You're not called. Please get out before you kill them. I mean, you know. Or you feel like, I want to be a greeter. Great. All of a sudden you slap somebody. I don't think that's not a good thing. You know? We don't want you slapping people and throwing people and tackling them. Or maybe, you know, you can count. And you can count backwards. Maybe God will have you count the money. You know, what does God want you to do? Well, I don't. You part your hair weird, you know. You can't do nothing in this church. You don't wear flip-flops and a Hawaiian shirt, so you're disqualified because you're probably a Calvinist and we don't want you here. You know, I mean, you know. And if you don't have hair, you're definitely not going to occupy this pulpit. No. So, let me ask you a question. Have you quenched your spouse? Have you quenched your friends because they don't live up to your expectations? And the Holy Spirit, check this out. He wants to use you to build that person up, but you won't let him do it. Therefore, you have quenched his work and you have quenched their life. And so I read in just the context that we don't have time, but notice in chapter 5, but of the things of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. What is the context of quenching not the Spirit? People need to get saved. Jesus Christ is coming. Don't put people in a box. Be an instrument to lead people to Christ. And if you read the whole chapter and the context and then sum it up in verse 19, it says, whatever you do, don't hinder people from coming to Christ, because we're in this thing together. And we want to do this thing together. And then lastly, in chapter 7 of Acts, in verse 51, let's turn there. And as you're turning there, can you imagine if Barnabas didn't help John Mark? He would have quenched John from writing the gospel. And can you imagine if Philip said, I don't want to minister to the Ethiopian? He would have quenched it. And Ananias didn't want to go pray for Paul, but he went and God used him. And then lastly, in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, Stephen, and you have to read the whole chapter, and that's your homework for tonight. I want you to read Ephesians chapter 4, and check out verse 30. I want you to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and check out verse 19. And I want you to read Acts chapter 7, and check out verse 51, because something went wacko. And Stephen just lit up. And Stephen said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in your heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. And what he's saying, looking back over the whole history of Israel, and Psalm 95, it says, you have resisted the Holy Spirit, against the Holy Spirit. You won't even listen to what he has to say. And because of that, Stephen is saying this whole generation died. And so here's my summary in just a nutshell for me this evening, because it's been more for me probably than you. A, I cannot afford in my life, in this position, with my wife and my children and my friends, I cannot and will not grieve him intentionally. That's my commitment tonight. Now, I'm responsible for much more than you are, because I know the Bible. If I don't forgive, then I'll be summoned before the king, and he'll throw me in the dungeon, because I'll hear the words, I've forgiven you for so much you're unwilling to forgive. I cannot ever. And I believe this last year, I have grieved the Holy Spirit. I've allowed things to take place in my own heart that I would not forgive. And you know something? I hurt the church. I hurt my friends. I hurt my wife. I hurt my own family. Because I was right. But in reality, the Holy Spirit has been grieved. Because there will never be a time from this day on that I have a right to lie, be angry, malice, unforgiving, bitterness that has to go. Because I'm doing damage to my own personal life. Second, Jesus Christ is coming. And God wants to use janitors, and God wants to use CEOs. And I'm in the business looking for people that I can place in the greatest position to do the greatest work and to take a challenge with them, because I need to do what Chuck did for me. I need to give people a chance. That's all that God's ever asked me to do. But being unwilling, because something might go bad, is so wrong. If He is the Holy Spirit, He has to hold things together. And it's my responsibility to open doors, not shut doors. To educate, not make fun of. To release, not stifle. And to make sure that through this life, none of you are being quenched by a look, by an attitude, by a vain jesting. And I think that in some ways I've quenched the work that God wanted to do in Rob's life and Don's life through this last year. And I feel bad about that. And thirdly, I don't want to resist Him. Because if I don't pay attention, He'll never leave me. But He will remove His joy and His power and His glory. And it will be one wilderness hell of a wasted life because I didn't take heed. I want the baptism, and I believe I have it. But I want to live in a place I've never lived before. And I've been looking, saying, Lord, why don't you do it? Well, when are you going to quit grieving me? When are you going to quit quenching me? And when are you going to quit breaking my heart? I came to bring redemption. I came to bring the Great Commission. And I came to bring you into the land of Canaan to fill your heart with joy. Stephen, go look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you grieving? Are you quenching? Are you resisting? And I believe if you will say that and you will read these chapters, then God will speak to your heart along your way. And you will not get to where Paul was saying, you guys in Ephesians, you forgot. So you're close to grieving because you're going backwards. Father, we ask tonight, a difficult verse, difficult passage. Pray that, Lord, that you would give us great insight. And I pray that in the context, maybe we've never looked at it in that context, that we realize tonight that it's not a study that, Father, we want to go and listen to over and over again. But it is a study that we need to evaluate. Lord, we don't want to quench your Holy Spirit from using us. And God, you know our hearts, that we would never want to hinder or hurt anyone from being all that you want them to be. Father, we don't want to grieve you. Here you have spent your entire life building your people and bringing them to the knowledge of God. And we just continue to sin openly and rebelliously against you. And we need to know that whatever we do, we take you with us. That's a good thing to realize. We don't go into that bar and have you sit outside. Holy Spirit, sit outside. I'm going to have a couple beers. We drag you through the drunkenness of our lives. When we smoke that joint, Lord, we fill the tabernacle, Lord, with everything that is so ungodly. Well, Lord, maybe understanding that we cannot dissociate ourselves any longer, that we have been sealed with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just want to come to you and ask that you would help us. How you speak to us and tell us, don't grieve me. And Lord, the civil war begins to happen inside. I know that I should not, but I am. And therefore I justify why I'm so I am. And the first thing that goes is the joy. Well, Lord, restore the joy to all of us. Lord, we don't want to grieve you. We don't want to quench you using our life or what you want to do in other people's lives. Lord, you said if we quench a child, it's better to have a millstone tied around our neck and dropped into the ocean. Lord, we don't want to be a castaway or, Lord, do anything that would hurt the ministry, hurt people's lives. We want to be tender and gentle and, Lord, forgiving. And most of all, we don't want to resist or vex you, or you have to turn against us. Lord, we need you on our side ministering to us, and so we just ask tonight that you would work in our hearts this whole week, and you would bring us back to some of the most exciting times of the releasing of your power and your anointing. And that, Lord, that we would be hungry, that we would just love you, and we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?